for Raymond Hargett, June 19th, 2006. Okay, you were saying about the major that you didn't know exactly what.
Yeah, he was more in the construction line someplace, but he, I'd had other run-ins with him, but this topped it off, you know. When.
So the trucks that you were in charge of, and I know I wanted to ask you, what is a 6x6 or 6x6?
Well, you know, you've seen the trucks, they've got two wheels in front of you, you steer, and then the four wheels in the back.
Right.
Well, you know, you got six by six.
Okay.
Well, you got six, and all of them, you can use them to pull with all if you want. You know.
Okay.
6x means six sets of wheels, and six can pull.
Okay.
And a 4x4 is a, you know, you got four wheels and four can pull.
Okay. Yeah. And these would have been used to haul supplies mainly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But not men, necessarily.
Not necessarily, but they did some, you know, but not necessarily. But mostly just, for us, it was for supplies.
Okay. You know, and when you moved, did you have, like, a machine shop that you took with you with tools and things?
Oh, yeah, we had all kinds of equipment. Like, we had a... yeah, a machine shop. The guy, it was a big semi. Had lathes, milling machines and stuff in it. And to show you how desperate they were, well, maybe not desperate, this guy was qualified. But he'd worked, I think, for Caterpillar, but I'm not real sure. He was on crutches. And the Army needed him. And they went, giving me shots. To Korea he went. And but he was a young man, I think 25, 26 years old. But he could take a piece of metal and make whatever you needed, you know. And we had quite a few like that. We had a welder, and I know he worked for Caterpillar. And he was 50 some years old. And they brought him over there. And of course he'd been in the Army before. And
would he have been in the reserve then? Or?
I think he was. I think he was still in the reserve. But this machinist, you know, there was no way, because I never did learn, but he had a metal plate for a shin bone. And he, oh, he could stand, but he couldn't walk. You know, he used crutches to walk.
Were a lot of the men, had they fought in World War II, or was this a different generation?
Quite a few.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a number of them that I had this good friend from Jetmore, and he was, I don't know which beach he landed on over when the invasion, Normandy, but he still carried shrapnel. And yeah, there was quite a few of them that had seen combat.
When you were in Korea, did you really know what the conditions for the troops were like? I mean, you really didn't have much contact with them.
Not at first, but it didn't take long till you learned, because they're moving back and forth, and you talk to different guys and stuff, and you knew pretty quick what the conditions were like.
Yeah.
And well, you knew the conditions that we had.
Right.
And we had a little bit of shelter. And better food, because they was eating stuff out of a can. And but how in the world they survived that those winters over there, I just can't imagine them being able to.
They probably were like you, they just got through it somehow.
You just, I've got a book here that my son gave me that, and I gave it to one guy that couldn't even read it all. It's about each page is a different soldier, tells his little story in a few short words. And the guy couldn't read it. He's passed away now, but just lived across the street here. Well, yeah, he wanted to read that. And it wasn't a couple of days he brought it back, and he says, I can't read it.
Yeah, just reminded him.
He'd never been in the service.
Oh.
But he said that he just couldn't read it. So it shows you what conditions those men had up there.
Yeah, and in some cases, it seems like it's almost conditions that only animals can survive
yeah.
in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
It's unreal what a human can do. It really, I'm amazed.
Mm-hmm. And to other humans, too.
Yeah.
Like you said
mm-hmm.
before.
Yeah.
Okay, what other specific memories do you have of that time in Korea that you haven't already talked about? Is there a particular person other than, you know, the ones?
Yeah, there is a person I'd like to bring up. General Ridgway. He replaced MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people I knew him on a first name basis. It wasn't quite that much. But one day, this officer, he knew it was an officer because he had a driver, come up in there in an old dirty Jeep and get up there and, God, it was a general, you know. I would, got tongue-tied and everything else right at first. And he said, well, and I could see he had a front spring broke on the Jeep when he was coming driving up there. He wanted to know if he could fix it. And I told him, yeah, we can fix it. And so got started and had the guys working on it. Well, they said some other things that were wrong, you know, U-joints. So we wound up changing the oil and put in new spark plugs and points. And he'd stop by every now and then when he's out checking stuff. And there was a few times he's driving himself.
Mm-hmm.
And always when he's vehicle serviced. So now he was one good man.
Yeah.
But he was upset with the Army. So he was a paratrooper.
Oh.
And when he took command, they said, you can't jump anymore.
Mm.
So he just had fits about that. He'd stand there.
Yeah.
But that's a good memory.
Yeah. Well, you must have done good work for him that he came back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did. But like, he was a general and he had a problem and his old Jeep was just pretty badly beat up, and we got it up first class shape there in a couple of hours time, and mm-hmm. he really appreciated it.
Yeah. Did you keep in contact with people after you came home?
Just the ones that round here halfway close that I've kind of kept track with, but most of them died off. And
mm-hmm.
they just, well, you see, it's been 56 years.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And another little incident, got to tell you, you know, I told you about this black truck driver. I should have shot him and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the outfit I was assigned with, for all of us out here at Camp Carson, they were from Vicksburg, Mississippi. Well, you know what the situation was there. And they were just starting to integrate the military services mm-hmm. over there. They'd send in a black guy and he'd be gone the next day. And it just kept going. And finally, sent two black kids, both were from Chicago. And you could just right quick look at and see. They were so scared.
Mm-hmm.
And why they assigned them to the motor pool, neither one of them could even drive a car. They was mid-city.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago. And I've often thought, now I'd have felt just like they did if I'd have been one of two kids put in, say, well, in my company there was over 400 white guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've often wondered about those. They were still in the company when mm-hmm. when I left.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get mixed thoughts
yeah.
of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like those two kids, I felt so darn sorry for them.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody had told the colonel they're going to stay
right.
because they didn't get shipped out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just wonder what in the world they might have done with them, because they would just put them in a motor pool
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't even drive.
Yeah.
So I had them washing parts and
mm-hmm.
just trying to think of something for them to do to
right.
keep them busy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but there earlier, you know, I could have shot every black guy that in contact with.
Right. Yeah.
And
well, and you know, growing up out here, you just didn't have contact
yeah.
with different.
Well, we had this Elliott family that lived down south here. They were colored, well, colored Indian mix. Mm-hmm. But they were just, like my mom went to school with the older ones. Mm-hmm. They just part of the Montezuma.
Yeah.
Then when you got out in the big world, why, it was a different story.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that was, you know, like I say, two sides of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it seems as though, as you've told these, that you learned a great deal.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You learn
about life and about people.
Yeah. And you get to, you appreciate people more all the time, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do have one question, and this is going backward, but Merchant Marine, Army, Reserve, and you were, and then back into the Army.
Mm-hmm.
What, when you were in the Reserve, what responsibilities did you have?
I was inactive Reserve, so there was none.
Oh, okay.
Like this outfit was attached to, that come from Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
they were active Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran a, it must have been kind of like a flood control, and it was a water, they called it something water, but they were on active duty a good part of the time down there, somewhere.
Okay.
Another.
Now, did you choose inactive, or was that just a sign?
I chose inactive mm-hmm. when I got out. I could have taken an active,
mm-hmm.
and but like here, I think probably had to went clear to Wichita or someplace.
Okay.
And so I took, and if you did, I'm not sure, but I think if it had chose active, it would have been like 2 years or 2.5 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
But inactive, it was 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You could be called back, you know.
Okay. And so when you came back, and then you just moved back into...
Yeah, farm life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's see. You'd be thinking of any... I want to look to see if we've covered everything, but specific incidents. When you were in the Army, what was your pay? It wasn't as good as Merchant Marine?
Oh, gosh. In Korea, finally, it was pretty good pay. But when I first went in, I think it was $21.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went to Korea and I promoted to Sergeant First Class, I don't remember what the base pay was, but you got your base pay, you got your overseas pay, and you got combat pay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was over $200 a month.
Okay.
But it got then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when you came home or when you were in Korea, did you buy souvenirs or anything like that?
A little, but very little.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a little cap and coat for a little niece when I was in Japan with a few days we were there,
mm-hmm.
and sent to her. And I bought a little old tea set or something, mm-hmm. for myself that I've still got. But
yeah.
Actually, not, I've got a they smoked the big long pipe, not heroin.
Cocaine? No?
No, it wasn't. What is it?
Opium.
Opium pipe.
Okay.
I got an opium pipe that I brought home.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't have much
okay.
of anything.
All right. So when you came back during the reserve period, and you went into farming, and then you were called up, and then when you got out that time, you came back and just moved back to...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I moved back and farmed with my dad. And then Dorothy and I got married, and we lived down on Crooked Creek and run cattle and farms for about 8 years, I guess. And had a flood and lost 30-some head of cattle, and farming ends like it is now.
Yeah.
And a mail route opened up, mm-hmm. and I took a test for the mail route.
Okay.
And then I got that mail route, mm-hmm. and carried out a Montezuma first, and then about 10 years, 10 or 11. Then they combined me was Montezuma and Copeland,
mm-hmm.
and so I went on a total of 34 years of carrying mail and retired. Mm-hmm.
All right, this is completely off the subject. Tell me about Crooked Creek. It's the only creek in Gray County. Did you know that?
No.
I was raised around Eagles. And I was doing some research, and there was an ad to get people to come out here. And they said they didn't call it watershed, but they said the drainage of Crooked Creek. And I had never heard of that before.
Oh. Well, it starts right in north and west of Copeland.
Okay.
Kind of the finger draws to it. And see, the place we lived on would be, well, just a mile west of this road here. Of course, you couldn't get there. You had to go south and then west and then south again. But about a mile west of town and then straight south. And of course, you get there. Back then, before irrigation, there was pools of water most of the time. And a little farther, now my folks lived on east a little ways over here. And there was water in the creek, little holes.
Okay, so it wasn't a dry creek.
Not completely.
Right.
Yeah, and it wouldn't take much. The water would run.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, I just wondered because my brother farms around Ingalls, and I said something. He says, oh, yeah, he knew about it, and I'd never heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it...
Is it still a viable creek? Or?
Oh, yeah. Okay. But you get a good hard rain, there's some water runs in it.
Is that the cattle that you lost? Is that...
Yeah, they drown... That was in 56, I guess it was.
Okay.
In May, it had been dry and dry, and had these about 100 head of cattle. And I'd fed them all winter. And finally, little wire grass that grows up in the creek, the only time they'll eat it's in the spring, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd fenced in from, didn't even rent part of the ground, I fenced it in. And had all that creek fenced in and let these cattle run in that creek bottom. And it's May the 17th or 19th or something. It come up a storm. And a guy a couple miles west of us had an empty horse tank, said it rained 16 inches, plus the hail.
Yeah.
And all these cattle ahead was grazing more or less in that creek.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was 97 or 8 that had. And 32 of them drowned.
Hmm.
And there were 3 or 4 more that was, well, they never did completely get like they should.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was really a wicked blow.
Well, yeah.
But, man, I'll tell you, that was...
Well, that much rain coming down.
100 year rain.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to get off the topic. Okay, let me just go back. And your training that you received in the maintenance, was that adequate?
It was, because you, but things mechanically wasn't near as complicated then as it is now.
Mm-hmm. But you had experience with mechanics growing up on the farm. As you left the United States to go first to Japan and then Korea, what was that? That was the first time that you'd been out of the country. What was your strongest memory of that trip over? You were on a ship.
The strongest memory was about the first 6 or 8 hours, I would guess, that we could pick up the radio signal. Some kid had a radio. And this radio station knew our ship. I can't even remember the name of it that we were on and everything. And I'll bet they played the song Harbor Lights at least once every 30 minutes, or maybe oftener.
Hmm.
And that was probably
That is a strong memory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I still enjoy the song Harbor Lights.
Well,
I need to get a recording of it someplace before it completely disappears.
Yeah. Because you were really starting on a new experience in your life.
And in the Harbor Lights, I don't know if you've heard it or
I
not.
I have. Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty song.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay.
And they just played and played that song.
Giving you a good send-off, I guess.
Then, of course, then the farther you went, the more guys got sick and the worse it was. and which it was a disaster mech, mostly. The ship had, I don't know, 500 or 600 more on it than they had bunks for starters.
Oh.
And a lot of us would just sleep up on deck anyway because the smell was bad down below. He couldn't stand it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Did you encounter any bad weather, or did you have to watch out for enemy ships?
No, not then. It was pretty rough, but once they got sick and start throwing up down there, and it's no ventilation.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how they ever cleaned those things up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I bet you were glad to get to Korea to Japan.
Yeah, I was glad to get off that. And then got on a so-called Japanese luxury liner.
Uh-huh.
And you had rice straw mats to sleep on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the mats were mostly body lice.
Oh, dear.
Of course, that's another thing you learn to live with.
Right.
Was body lice.
Yeah.
But that was my first encounter, that 4 or 5 days getting around over to Korea.
Mm-hmm. Did you get rid of the lice?
Oh, yeah. You had some powder you put on, but you'd keep yourself shaved off, clean and everything, and try to wash your clothes out good. You got to where lice was just... The main thing was to stay away from straw mats.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep everybody away from straw mats, not get them in your clothing and stuff, well, you do pretty good. About keeping lice over you.
What an experience you had. Yeah. Maybe the last question. How did the experience, and we'll include from the Merchant Marine on through, how do you think that changed you, or do you have any reflections on the experience that you would like people who are, you know, looking at these in years to come, that you would like them to read about?
Gosh. Well, first of all, for young people, boys and girls, the military isn't as bad as it sounds. Civilian life has almost the same downfalls as the military.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of my service. Think I did the right thing. But, you know, the people at home, if it hadn't been for them, because they sacrificed just about as much in lots of ways. As maybe they didn't get shot at, but still, for starters, the parents had the kids there. They suffered mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I would like mostly... Young people, it wouldn't be a bad career.
Mm-hmm.
It really wouldn't. Any branch of the service.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed every bit of it. Lots and lots of things. Like this, you never talk about the good. You talk about the bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the people you meet and the things you get to do and see. And
do you think it was a life-changing experience for you?
Well, I'm sure it made me more compassionate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sure it would
be. Well, I
have a hard time finding fault with people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd say John Doe shouldn't be doing something.
Right.
But what I mean, right down deep.
Mm-hmm. Did it increase? Did you have a religious faith? Did that deepen it, or was that a factor at all?
Well, I'm not a religious person, publicly, but privately, I feel I'm quite religious.
Yeah. Well, and certainly what you have learned about the humanity of people would fit into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we have covered all the questions, unless there's something else that you can think of.
Oh, I could talk for a week.
Well, I don't think I have a week. No. I have a few more.
No, it's just one of the biggest problems I had was pneumonia.
Oh.
I had pneumonia when went in the training for Merchant Marine. I had pneumonia when I was taking basic training down in Arkansas. And I got pneumonia when I was in Korea, the first guy over there.
Okay. So how were you treated in when you were in Korea?
Two guys came with a big old bottle. I think it was Vicks.
Mm-hmm.
Big one. Because we didn't have any doctors. And aspirin. Where they got them, I don't know. And that's when we were sleeping in this, or bunking in this so-called schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was really sick, you know. And they came in the night, and they had buckets of water, and towels, and the Vicks, and the aspirin. And they started, they got me in the, on the bunk, and get this water hot, put them towels in there, and wring them out, put them on me, and it burnt me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're rubbing the Vicks on me and giving me aspirin. And by gosh, they cured me. I never had another cold while I was over there.
Isn't that something?
But if they hadn't, if I'd have wound up on a hospital ship.
Hmm. And were they medics or something?
No, they were just friends. And they knew I was sick, and I guess they knew more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
About, one of them was from Fowler, and the other one was from Jetmore.
Really?
And but boy, I tell you, they stayed in there, I think, practically all night. And
mm-hmm.
And I didn't get out for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
That was
that's an interesting story.
But the only, like I say, the only medication they had was this jar of Vicks and aspirin
mm-hmm.
and the hot towels.
Yeah.
And between the three of them, I guess they boiled it out of me. I don't know.
Well, it's a simple remedy, but
yeah,
it worked.
It worked.
Yeah.
When I was at basic and got pneumonia, that's when penicillin was just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't a happy experience either. 13 days, now why, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they give you a big old shot in the rear end every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they mixed it with beeswax. And they'd have supposedly to heat that to body temperature.
Okay.
So your body would absorb it. Well, either it was too hot or too cold, seemed to me like most of the time. But it cured it.
So the beeswax was injected also?
Yeah, the penicillin was in the beeswax.
Oh,
then the downfall of all that is you get boils later because your body will not absorb the beeswax.
Oh.
And it come out in boils.
Oh my gosh.
And that was kind of nasty.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Hmm. And yeah, then you said later you had it again.
Well, when I was in the Merchant Marine, we're kind of going at this backwards.
Okay, all right.
In the Merchant Marine, there they had a hospital, and I went on sick call, and they put me right in the hospital.
Hmm.
And I got good care there, and I don't know what they use for medicine. I know one night this doctor, well, he said he's training to be a doctor. He sat there about all night, about like these two guys did, gave me pills and made me drink water.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a base hospital.
Right. Well, you said when you were in Korea there were no doctors. So what if someone got sick? What would?
If they got bad enough, they'd ship them to a hospital ship.
Okay.
Because you had nothing on land
mm-hmm.
to speak of at all.
Hmm.
Now, we had a dentist at one time, but he went off to one of the line companies and got started back late, and he got scared and made his private driver switch. You know, he had the private put on his captain's hat and the captain's bars, and he put on the private's stuff. Well, he got shipped out on account of that, which he should have been.
Right.
You know, a guerrilla mm-hmm. activity is what it was. These Braves, they got caught by the officer, naturally, is the one to get killed.
Yeah.
And but dentist was the only thing, and not very often we even had dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... You
were just sort of out there.
Out there, yeah. But we did get to where, you know, there was some aspirin and Band-Aids and stuff. But most of the time, for Band-Aids, you went and got you some old black tape that you tape up wiring on the vehicle with and wrap it around it and go ahead. You know.
Hmm.
But you learned to survive.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of illness other than we got dysentery one time. Mm-hmm. And there was some guys that died from that. And several that just, they shipped him to Japan to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I remember this one guy, I didn't even know him when he came back, because he probably weighed 220 or 230, big old kid. Mm-hmm. And I'll bet he didn't weigh 130 when he came back, mm-hmm. about a month later.
Yeah, that can be fatal.
Oh, it's wicked. Mm-hmm. I had it, but not very bad. I worked every day. Mm-hmm. But some of them, it just hit them so hard.
Yeah.
And